JB and Bill, this is the Rush Hour, and there's only two games remaining in the home and away season.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We'll get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Damo, welcome to you.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. I can't believe that audio went to air, Bill, from that Italian runner that you managed to unearth.
I couldn't believe we found that, Rabsy.
It's incredible. You allowed it, Jim?
No. I didn't know what had happened. And then when Rabs hit play, I realised that Fat had been somewhere creating craft that should never have gone to air.
Yes.
I got a question off the top because there's rumours going around and I want you to say yes or no, squash them or tell us what actually happened, please.
Yep. You're referring to the North Melbourne Premiership reunion of Saturday?
Over the weekend, yes. But I think I'm referring to an incident that happened on Saturday, allegedly, between two players.
Yes.
Can you tell me, one, have you heard this?
Yeah, look, it has been doing the rounds, Bill, for most of the day. And look, it's fair to say there was a verbal altercation between Anthony Stevens and Wayne Carey. And as is often the case when such matters occur at a pub after some consumption of alcohol, you'd assume, Bill, there's versions of events which differ, but there was no fisticuffs. Right. I think that's been established. And there was a subsequent, Jim, conversation between the two. Now, how that took hold and how that took shape, that's for the others to replay. Right. But after the initial breaking up, after the conversation, they did come together again.
So they've had a couple of beers, they've had a bit of a verbal, and then split up or whatever, and then actually spoke later on.
Yeah, they did do that. Right. And then the reason it's got out publicly today is largely due to the unavailability of Anthony Stevens to attend the cavalcade yesterday, pre-match, the motorcade at the ground, the North Melbourne playing the Swans. There was a celebration of that 96 team, and Anthony wasn't there. A lot of questions being asked, and then obviously story getting out that way. But there's, again, and different, there's varying versions and reasons as to why Anthony Stevens wasn't at that motorcade, and not all the versions link back to the conversation that he had with Duck on Saturday.
Has anyone asked Steve-O?
I haven't spoken to Anthony, no. But look, again, it's an ugly event in that club's history. It's been resolved to a point, but clearly never be fully resolved. And 20 years after what happened, again, on the Saturday just gone, Bill, the two central two are still obviously in disagreement over aspects of it and what's happened since.
All right, we move on to the Port Adelaide Football Club, David Kosh.
Yeah.
Turn it around or watch out.
I reckon it's a looming story, this one, Jim, given the contract that Ken Hinckley's got for next year. But after the 0-5 start, they held it together, and I think that's admirable to a point. But ultimately, there's been 15 matches since that 0-5 start, and they've only just squared the ledger by plus one. It's an 8-7 scoreline since that moment. And look, he just may have taken this team as far as he can take it. And that's not a slight on him. It's not a criticism of him. He's got them to three preliminary finals. The two previous seasons, they were prelim finals. And I think, Bill, we'll look back on the 2020 season when they lost to Richmond in that year's prelim.
Yep.
They didn't do much wrong apart from not win that prelim final. They just got dusted late, if you recall, and Richmond went on to win their third year. Last year was an embarrassment with what happened against the Bulldogs in the prelim final, and maybe they just never, ever recovered from that moment. But I don't see Ken Hinckley being coach now of Port Adelaide next year.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't, and I haven't for some time. And I feel it'll be Ken's decision as much as David's and the club itself. And look, there's a contract there, so there'll be a negotiation of sorts. And I would think if North can't sort things out with Alistair Clarkson, and everything is indicating that they are tracking well for that to be the case. Yep. But if it does get to a point where they need to bring in outsiders and other people outside Clarkson, I couldn't imagine why Ken Hinckley wouldn't be at the very top of that next batch of people they will speak to.
I agree. 10 years is about the right time, I reckon. Any longer than that, you need to have tucked away two or three flags to go beyond that.
Yep.
Well, Chris Scott's he's got one, obviously,
he's
but
a 10. Premiership coach.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just think that it doesn't mean that you're not going to be better at the next place.
No, it doesn't.
Most likely you are going to be.
Yeah.
So for me, people like Ken Hinckley, like Leon Cameron, again, taking a team through prelims to a grand final, they'll go somewhere else and I think make exceptional coaches the second. Because you learn so much with what you get wrong and right the first time. I'm with you. I reckon wherever he ends up, if it's not at Port Adelaide, he'll do a great job.
Yeah, and Don Pike's another one. I'm glad for Don Pike that he did publicly speak about this camp. Now, he's obviously an assistant coach at Sydney Swans now, Bill, but he chose the doorstop element to the weekend matches in travel to address. And I think rightly, apologise, and if people haven't caught up with it, they can go and track it down on social media. But I'm glad he did say sorry, and I'm glad he did address the wrongs of that camp, because he was becoming, I suppose, caught up in this, and then it was almost as though he wasn't going to be able to get the chance potentially to coach again. I'm glad he's cleared the air on that. So I think there's a good raft of options for clubs like North Melbourne that are committed to getting an experienced coach. And as I said before, that they are tracking well with Alistair Clarkson to this
point.
He
would be exceptional again wherever he goes. I thought he did a great job at Adelaide, actually.
Yep.
You know, with what he had there.
Yep.
He will be very good when he chooses to jump back in.
Yeah. Just a couple of other issues before we get the negatives and positives. Josh Kennedy. Now, the name is big in footy, Bill. Obviously, the West Coast version of it kicked 8 goals in his final game of footy, 293 career matches, 723 career goals. That was one good story about the Josh Kennedy, but the Josh Kennedy of the Swans with the hamstring, and it's on the other leg to the one that he ripped earlier in the season. It's he's just unfortunately now not going to be seen again this year. And as such, we may have seen him for the last time on an AFL venue. And look, that's a shame for him given what's happening with his club this year. They are a live premiership hope. He's been so central to what they've done by establishing themselves as the great Sydney Swans team. And he's not going to play a part of what lies ahead this year.
Does Simon Goodwin say anything to Ed Langdon?
I'd hope not.
No.
I would really hope not. I know the way footy clubs work, and they whatever they say publicly, privately, they have a different view, and we only needed to see what Craig McRae and others, we spoke to Scott Pendlebury, they joke about it, Collingwood, but they clearly referenced that. And you called the incident when Maynard tried to kill him within the rules. And I think to Langdon's credit, he stood up in that tackle, he stood up in the match.
Oh, exactly.
And it wasn't the reason they lost.
They've if Melbourne win, what do we say then? And they could have easily won. They just couldn't get the ball in the last 5 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the rule of thumb always is when you're talking about a game coming up, you speak honestly about yourselves.
Yeah.
You normally don't talk about the other mob.
That's okay.
I mean, that's normally what
we like that.
Oh, of course we do.
I do.
But I just wonder. I'm with you. I loved it. It added great theatre to what was one of the games of the season. I just wonder internally whether they would have said anything to him or just let it go.
I reckon they would have pre-match. I would hope they didn't post-match because, as Bill said, it wasn't the reason. But as we both know, Jim, and as we know, in the States, those sorts of comments are made daily.
All the time.
And they're not even repeated, let alone to the ad nauseum extent
we're not in the States, Damon.
No, we're not. No, we're not. I wish we were sometimes, Bill, because we are a very amateur outlook
Damon. We're here.
Industry
Victoria,
at times.
Okay. We're in Victoria.
Are we going to go to Sydney next?
Right.
Well, Ricky Stewart, we're going to have a...
Oh, no. I want to ask you about Cripps.
Well, we'll get to that next. We're having a break. But I'd also like to reference a rugby league.
We can do that.
Rugby league thing.
We can do that, don't we?
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Damien Barrett's in the studio.
All right, couple of quick ones. Bailey Smith.
Resigned from the Bulldogs. They've just announced that in the past few minutes, Jim. So 2 further years for him as a Bulldog. So, given the issues he'd been through this year, to wrap that up, so to just take him out of that conversation, it's a good storyline out of the club that hasn't had too many this year.
No. Speaking of good storylines, Ben Cunnington gets through.
Yeah, it was a great storyline, wasn't it? The recurrence of the cancer issues he's had, and that's obviously ruined his past 2 football seasons. It's ruined his life to a contextual point. But to return through the VFL as he did yesterday, to pick up the 18 touches, and to just look like he, was happy to be out there. And even to hear him talk afterwards, I enjoyed getting the hits. I mean, it's just great.
Had his parents there and all that.
It was great, wasn't it? I mean, we've had some great stories this year, and the relationship that he's developed with another cancer sufferer through their ordeals, unfortunately. Sam Doherty's a powerful storyline. They've got games against Adelaide in round 22, which is North, and Gold Coast in round 23.
Must play.
Yeah, the problem for the next game, the Adelaide game, it's a Saturday game, him playing for the first time in a year on a Sunday.
Yep.
Look, it may be round 23.
Might be round 23, but get him out there.
Get him back out there.
I'm going to that game, Adelaide North Melbourne. I'm going to go to that game.
How? Oh, are you leaving another Saturday rub early?
Ice away. The manja, the shakes.
Hang on. Are you going to give us your best 90 minutes on Saturday?
No, I might get 57 again. Patrick Cripps.
Can you pull rank on
him? No, I'm going to get rid of him.
I'll be over there in Adelaide, Jim.
Yeah, good. You might stay there.
Might be half an hour late.
Patrick Cripps.
As we speak, we don't yet have match review office adjudication on it. We know the way it works. The fact that Callum Archie, who was the player contacted by Paddy Cripps, was subbed out of the game for the knock bill, it cannot augur well for
Paddy Cripps. Is there anything in the rules regarding a football incident?
No, there shouldn't be. And there's a few people advocating
that. Why? Because football accidents happen.
Jimmy Bartel is the biggest one to advocate this, Bill. I've come around to that thinking that if it is a football incident as opposed to a non-football incident, that it should be viewed
differently,
leniently, or more leniently than the non-football incident. So, no, but there's not, to answer your question. And all we can go on is, and Jim, you're as big as this on this as anyone, the fact that there was damage caused to the point where Archie was subbed out, it's going to work against Paddy Cripps. And if it doesn't, there's some players in the past who've had that sort of ruling placed on them. Geelong and Collingwood, Bill, do you remember 2011 pretty well, I'd imagine, as a Cats supporter? There's parallels in the 11-win game winning streak that they're both on. Yep. The 1-2 ladder position after round 21, as we had, they were 1-2 from round 2 of that particular season onwards. And they obviously then played in that year's grand final. Collingwood only lost to Geelong that season. They did it three times. In that season, inclusive of the grand final. Geelong only lost three times full stop and obviously won the grand final. They're different storylines in 2022.
Oh, yeah.
But to get to this stage with Collingwood even a full game clear of the third place team, it's just an extraordinary. And you called the game
on Friday
night. What
they're doing, Collingwood, is quite simply ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like the first half of that game, at one stage they had 9 possessions inside forward 50 and kicked 7 goals. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Nah.
So it's like I said, it's like Moneyball.
Yeah.
You know, like the stuff that's happening just doesn't happen.
Mm.
It's the best story in footy by mile.
It is.
By some way, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, and people who it's ingrained to hate Collingwood, isn't it? And yet they won't admit to this en masse, but there's an element
of love.
You're
actually pulling for them.
Yeah, well, look, exactly. I know I am, but I know some hardened people who just they're trained to hate, and they love it.
Yeah. It's us against them.
Well, this year, Collingwood's been embraced, and that takes some doing, doesn't it? And it's all to do with Craig McRae's attitude, because it's filtered down and engrossed and enveloped the whole club and the whole way of thinking.
Dangerfield pulled out very, very late on Saturday
night. Yeah, he did, Bill. Look, there's some scans, I believe, that have been had since then, and obviously, you know, let's await the scans and see what the club wants to say publicly, but the fact you're going in and needing some extra, I suppose, medical scan work, Jim. It's not maybe as simple as just having a tight calf in the pre-match. And given he's had the issues, look, smart move to take him out, as it was with Selwood previous to that, as it was with Blitzarv's already taken out. They've had some beautiful rest periods, these guys.
Mm. All right, so we get the post-match press conferences done in the AFL, and they're often pretty bland. And we saw one in Sydney recently where only one reporter turned up.
That's it, Jim. Ricky Stewart on the weekend.
NRL.
His mob were playing Penrith, and I think there's a bit of an issue there with Jamin Salmon. And have a listen to this. He was placed on report for a kick aimed at Canberra Raiders hooker Tom Starling. Of course, Ricky Stewart is the coach of Canberra Raiders. Have a listen.
I've had history with that kid. I know that kid very well. He was a weak-gutted dog as a kid, and he hasn't changed now. He's a weak-gutted dog person now.
You just can't say that.
What the hell is that?
It's rugby league, isn't it? So we're half used to them doing things very differently. But I'm sorry, he has to be suspended for that. Has to be. And his club, as we speak, I don't think they've actually done anything. Bill, you can't talk like that.
I know.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They'll find him.
Well,
I don't know if
I'd suspend him.
Context is Ricky Stewart's son and that guy had a blue
Salmon.
When they were 12 or 13.
Something like when they were 12 or 13 years of age.
So that's the history.
That's the history.
I don't think that provides
a
context.
No, I don't either.
Ricky came out and said, I was talking as a father and not as a coach.
Well, I don't care what he's talking at. It's something when the microphone's on for someone of that standing. And look, we've all celebrated Ricky Stewart. He's one of the greats, isn't he?
We need to hear it again.
I've had history with that kid. I know that kid very well. He was a weak-gutted dog as a kid, and he hasn't changed now. He's a weak-gutted dog person now.
See, to hear it even sometimes the written word looks worse than the spoken word.
It does.
That is an example. There's venom in that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, you have to have a sanction attached to that of significance that says we're not tolerating that. And Peter Vallandi says a lot of things about a lot of people, inclusive of the organisation he runs in the NRL. And I'll be keen to see what he thinks about it at some stage of the next 24 hours, Bill. And I think he probably should have done something before now just to send the message that we are not going to tolerate that, because that sends all sorts of messaging that's wrong.
Are Carlton going to play a final this year?
Yeah, they will.
You're giving them a win in the next 2 weeks.
Even if they don't win, they can still
make it because the Bulldogs need to win both games as well. And they've still got a game against Hawthorn in Tassie, the Bulldogs, and they're not playing well. I didn't like what they did yesterday, and I don't read too much into the 8 goals that they kicked in the last quarter against Brisbane, because the damage was done then, and a little bit like what Essendon has been doing with winning matches. I think the fake comeback was, sorry, the comeback was a fake component to the game.
Well, but having said that, they couldn't be meeting Melbourne at a worse time.
No.
Because Melbourne will absolutely be flying at that game.
You say that, Jim. But they're 4 wins, 6 losses since round 10 themselves, Melbourne.
And
I know what you're saying. But this is not Melbourne in that 17-game winning streak, the 7 of last year, the 10 of this year. This is Melbourne in a 10-game patch of form where they've only won 4 games.
I get you, but
I reckon they're not in a good time to get
it. If they'd got over Collingwood and they'd won 2 in a row, then you might think, all right, they might just come back off the pace a little bit. After the weekend, I think they will be flying in that game. And so I just find it interesting that they can have had the season they've had and potentially then not play a final.
They were 8-2.
Yeah.
They were 8-2. And like Melbourne since that point has gone 4-6 to fall away dramatically. And there's no sign of it being returned, is it? That's the problem. And a few issues with last year's common medalist, Harry McKay, who's just not impacting the way that they now need him to.
All right, Purple, great catching up with you. Thanks for dropping by.
Cheers, boys.
Damo's recovery session.